Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Az's team selection ahead of game week 10. I'm Az on my own, as you probably know. Hope you're all doing well. We thought it was going to be a good game week from a football perspective, and it was. We thought it would be a good game week from an FPL perspective, and for a lot of people it was as well. So hopefully you all got good green arrows if you're watching this, but if you didn't, don't worry, loads of game weeks left to go. So in this series, I kind of just talk through how my team is performing. Sort of for the last game week. Have a look at my watch list and which players I'm considering bringing in, or at least looking at in kind of short to medium term. And then I'll look at my team and how it's set up ahead of game week 10. And chat through some of the options. Normally, I do this video after Black Box, so you've probably heard me rant a load of times about different things already on there, and then I'm just kind of always repeating myself sometimes. Hopefully, it's not like that. Hopefully, I'm trying to go into a bit more detail about stuff rather than just repeating. This is a bit different, so I haven't had the full sort of preamble with Mark going into this video. But yeah, do check out Black Box tonight, where I'll be talking with Mark about lots of, you know, kind of in-depth stats and stuff like that over on youtube.com/blackbox. Okay, let's start with how my game week 9 went. And would you believe it, I had a good week. Finally, it's only taken, you know, 9 weeks to finally feel like I'm kind of rising up. I went from 2.8 million up to 1.2 million. I got 105 points. My only negative was I played Henderson with one over Ward, and I was really 50-50 on that. In the end, I decided to hedge my bets on that game. It's cost me 7 points, and kind of decisions like that are really frustrating and annoying, but you know, you kind of just have to kind of roll with them. I went for Trent, James and Trippier, so no point in defence apart from Trippier, who came in with 7. It's been a bit of a theme this season. I think a lot of us are still holding on to quite pricey, you know, defenders. You know, Cancelo, James and Trent are all really popular. And then if you've got Pope or Edison or someone, and these kind of teams all conceded at the weekend. So, you know, we all thought big at the back was going to be here to stay. But really, it does look like investing in your midfield and forwards is the way to go. And some of the stats I'm going to show on the watch list kind of support that too. But Trippier, just an outstanding option, you know, just keeps delivering, you know, for a team to win that heavily and for him not to have any attacking returns, but still get bonus points. I think just shows that, you know, when Newcastle keep a clean sheet, he's always going to be right up there. And then he's got the set pieces as well. He's got the open play crosses. He's just an absolutely phenomenal option. So if you haven't got him, you really do need to be making strides to get him. I had Foden with 19. I mean, that is incredible. I was not expecting a hat trick from Phil Foden. I mean, he's been doing all right. He got the goal against Wolves in game week 8. He got the goal against Bournemouth in game week 2, and kind of a couple of assists. But he's kind of really broken into that team now, playing on the right. Grealish was fantastic. He's got Haaland. That kind of partnership with him and Haaland, the link-up, is working really well. So he's got 5 goals and 3 assists already this season. I'm expecting him to comfortably beat his best ever season in 2020-21 when he got 9 goals and 8 assists. So he should, you know, easily do that. He should be getting more minutes as well. Pep said that his recovery is excellent. And you know, last year he was kind of playing in that false nine role, which maybe wasn't the best role for him. We thought he might be best playing in that kind of central position, maybe a David Silva midfield type role. False nine was interesting. I mean, he can play anywhere, but I think on the right he's at his most devastating. So he'll be keeping Mahrez out of the team for the foreseeable, I think. Not too much of a competition, and even if Mahrez does come in, he'll play on the left anyway. So absolute key part for City, and I think now the standout option at 8 million. Despite that blank coming up. Talk about 8 million mid. Madison, only just off Foden with 18. Huge haul for him. Another really, really good performance from him. And actually a much improved performance from Leicester, generally speaking. That's 5 goals and 2 assists for Madison now. this season. He's massively overperforming on his XG, but when you see his free kicks and his delivery and his kind of the positions he's taking up, again, he's an absolutely fantastic option, I think, going forward, unless they have just unbelievable fixtures as well. So really happy I got him in last week. He's delivered really highly against Forest, a really important game for Brendan Rodgers, you know, and with Bournemouth next and then Crystal Palace and then Leeds and Wolves, you've got to hope that Leicester's fortunes are going to turn around and he's going to continue to do well and get on that plane to Qatar. I mean, it'd be absolutely ridiculous if he doesn't. The fact that we're struggling as England to create too many opportunities, I think Maddison absolutely has to go on that plane. And, you know, out of all the players, you know, you've got Bowen, you've got Trent, you've got Maddison, you've got all these guys, Tony, all vying for a start, for a spot on the plane. I think Maddison is the one that I think has got to break into that side, despite not even being in the squad for the last game. So, yeah, interesting to see how he kicks on until the mid-November, and then the World Cup starts. Martinelli with four. I was really impressed with Arsenal against Spurs. I was really impressed with Martinelli. Arsenal played like they did against United, really, when they lost. The difference was this time they managed to convert some of their chances. Martinelli was just excellent down that left-hand side. I mean, any worries about him being kind of rotated and out of the team, you know, they're just dispelled. I mean, you've got Smith Rowe injured now. He's played 90 minutes in all but two games now, Martinelli. He's been subbed off at 77 and 74, so no rest really for him so far. He's key, absolute key for the Arsenal side. 46.6% owned. The FPL returns haven't really been there massively. But I sense that he could come up with a really big haul. He'll get a couple of goals in one game. I think it could be Leeds in game week 11. It could be Southampton in game week 13. It could be Forest in game week 14. You know, there's three really good games kind of on the horizon for him. So I was saying last week, if you wildcard, he's probably a player that I wouldn't go with. And I kind of stand by that for then. But I think now if you've got him, you don't look to sell him. Liverpool Arsenal has goals in it and the way Liverpool are defending. And then it's, you know, two really good fixtures in three if you can navigate the blank. So Martinelli's a keep. Pascal Gross, he's, yeah, bittersweet. I mean, Brighton's performance against Liverpool was just incredible. Obviously, all the headlines went to Trossard for his hat-trick, and deservedly so. Frustrating for Gross. He was subbed for kind of 60 minutes. Watched the highlights back. He was up there again. He was playing advanced. He was kind of in and around the penalty area. Box, there's a couple of times when the ball could have fallen to him but fell to other players as well. So I wasn't watching that and thinking, oh, this is a guy who's going to be completely, you know, different role, different tactics. He's not going to be the option. I think he will still continue to be a good option at 5-5. The problem is with so many midfielders now doing well, you know, Bowen coming into the four, with Trossard, his own teammate, with Zaha, who I haven't got. There's lots of players I'm looking at, and I think Gross might be someone who potentially leaves my team sort of fairly quickly. But, you know, I don't think he's necessarily a hard sell if you've got him. But I think with the kind of options around, there might be better players to go for. Now that big at the back isn't really a thing. You don't really need to keep that kind of 5.5, 6 million mid spot when it looks pretty essential kind of start of the season. Up front, Haaland, I mean, what else can you say? 14 goals, quickest player to get three hat-tricks. In eight games. I think Michael Owen was the quickest before that in about 40 games, 43 games, something like that. You know, there's just no words for him. He's undefendable. You know, there's no team in the league that's going to be able to defend against him. He's too strong. He's too quick. The crossing's too good from players like Cancelo and De Bruyne. You've got players like Grealish who can beat three players and lay the ball off to him. He's always in the box, always in the right areas. He can win headers. You know, it's just... Yeah, what else you need to say? He's perma-captain, I think, now. Absolutely cemented. Except for in the blank, in game week 12. Other than that, it's going to be really hard to kind of go without him. Game of six. Yeah, I mean, I'm not too impressed watching Spurs at the moment. They're not getting the ball up the pitch quick enough. They're not creating loads of chances. Kane is dropping deep again. We're seeing him clear the ball in the penalty area. We're seeing him, you know, spray passes around and not get into the box. He's a really, really frustrating player to own. I know he's, you know, one of, if not the best striker in world football. But from a purely FPL-wise, he really does frustrate me when I watch him have games like he did against Arsenal. It's a great penalty. He's not really scoring from open play at the moment. And, yeah, and Spurs just are struggling a bit to really create chances. So he's okay. I'm not too worried about him, but I want to see a bit more from him and Spurs. That second premium spot, you know, with Salah there, with De Bruyne, You know, with Son, there's other players I like the look of. So he needs to keep delivering, especially when there's good strikers around. So we'll see how he goes in the next couple of games. Brighton next, then Everton. So good opportunity for him there. Mitrovic with zero. I mean, no one was expecting that. I think we all expected him to play, and he did. I think we all expected him to score, and he didn't. Another game where he doesn't score against Newcastle, but he did go off against 30 minutes, and they did have a red card. So probably not too fair to judge him too harshly. We don't know what his injury status is, or at least we don't at the time of this recording. You know, there's strike options I'm going to talk about in a bit. If we need to move off him, if he's out for a prolonged period, but if he's out for 1 or 2 weeks, he's probably a fairly easy hold for a few people, providing you can, you know, got the bench to kind of keep him. So yeah, otherwise to put any more than a week, and you probably want to ditch him because of that blank in 12. So yeah, interesting one. I want to keep him if he's fit, but if he's not, obviously he has to go. This is the watch list updated. I've also added in the top non-penalty expected goal involvement per 90 players across the three different positions, just to give a bit of context around these guys and, you know, how the others are doing in kind of comparison to them, even if I kind of own them. So non-penalty XGI per 90 is essentially how often these players are creating or likely to get some kind of attacking return in the game. So obviously if they have a XGI per 90 of 1, that means they're expected to get you something every game, essentially. And the only player currently doing that is Erling Haaland with 1.15. Any kind of player who's around the 0.6, 0.7 mark, that is what I look at and think, okay, this is a really, really strong performance. Because you've got to think these players are better than the average, right? And that's what the XG is. It's the average, you know, quality of chance of that, and how you and if you'd expect them to score from that chance. So, you know, players like Wilson, like Jesus, you know, these are kind of elite forwards in the Premier League, and you'd expect them to overperform. So let's come down to the forwards kind of straight away. If we have a look at someone like Wilson and Jesus, they're there with 0.85. So again, these players, when they play, are almost likely to get you something kind of every game that they start. Martial, 0.77. He hasn't had too many opportunities in the league yet due to his injury, but it was a great performance when he came off the bench against City. I believe he's playing tonight in the Europa League, and I think he's almost certainly going to come into that United side quickly. Sancho has been really disappointing. They'll move Rashford over to the wings, and Martial will take that lone forward spot. So he's someone to really monitor, I think, when United's fixtures get a bit better. Then you go down to Tony, I mean, 0.47. I mean, that's fine. He has got penalties in his locker as well, just like Martial has. We're not sure about Jesus. But it was, you know, a disappointing blank, I think, for Brentford against Bournemouth. They are capable of doing this. Again, Tony will drop deep and frustrate. And I know a lot of people are really hot on them, but I think if you take that hat-trick out, I think people are going to be a little bit disappointed with Tony, especially after those 2 weeks. So he's not really someone that I'm sort of looking to get. I don't think he'd be my ideal Mitrovic replacement. I think I would probably go for a Wilson or find the money for a Jesus if I had to. Or maybe I'd even drop down to a Danny Welbeck playing at Brighton. He's got the lowest non-penalty XG of all the players on this kind of chart, 0.38. But it was a great performance, absolutely great performance for him. He had two headers saved by Alisson. Should have done better with both those chances and could have had a big haul in that match. So Welbeck is someone who is going to frustrate people, I think Trossard is the better option. But if we, you know, if you're looking at moving Mitrovic down to a striker and you haven't got any money to go up to someone else, then it might have to be someone like Welbeck or Solanke that you go for. And I think Welbeck is better than him. Looking at midfield, I haven't actually added any new players to the watch list. I'm still monitoring the likes of Saka, of Antony, of Diaz, of Bowen. These guys are all performing, you know, kind of a 0.45 non-penalty XGI or lower. Bowen the lowest with 0.26, but there's a big rise in what he was doing before. I think it was about 0.07, something like that. So the stats really didn't see that haul coming, basically. So we've got to hope that Bowen's now kind of going on to better things. Sinisterra was disappointing. Obviously got the red cards. Leeds were disappointing. Discipline was shocking. He's someone who's probably now, I was really excited about, but he's now kind of on the back burner a little bit. And I think Trossard at 6.7, a non-penalty XG per 90 of 0.54. That's the highest it's ever been for him in the league. It's just below Sterling, for example, at 0.55. Just scored a hat-trick. He's going to be absolute key man against De Zerbi. It's Spurs next, but then it's Brentford, and then it's Forest. Good run of games for him. I think if you've got that kind of 6.7 million or 7 million, I think Trossard is an absolute outstanding option. The other player we're looking at, of course, is Zaha, whose non-penalty XGI is 0.45, But I think it's very close between them, given Crystal Palace's fixtures and the fact Zaha's on pens as well. You won't get those from Trossard. Just to give that a bit of context, De Bruyne is the highest non-penny XG upper 90 midfielder with 0.84. Really high, highest I think it's ever been for him too. So all the others are kind of playing catch up a bit to De Bruyne. But I think for 6.7, you know, a player playing in a ridiculously attacking Brighton team, it seems, you know, with a non-penny XG per 90 of 0.54, stretching back to when he was even playing at wing-back under Potter, really, really good underlying stats for him. Defence is really disappointing, though. You know, I think last year we had some really attacking defenders, all with high non-penny XG upper 90s, all in the 0.5 mark for the likes of Cancelo, Trent, James. You know, we haven't got any players anywhere near that. The highest is Perisic, 0.35. James is next with 0.31. I think Trent's somewhere around 0.3 or something like that. And then it just drops off massively in the players I'm looking at. You know, an Arsenal defender, Zinchenko, potentially, 0.16. Diego Dallo, a lot of people are interested in him. United's fixtures are really tough. 0.15, and they're capable, you know, of conceding goals, especially when if Varane is injured as well. And look at Cancelo right down there, 0.1. I mean, he costs 7.2 million. The stats don't paint the picture that he's going to be getting any attacking returns anytime soon. Obviously, his quality and his class and the fact that he could, you know, bomb up the wing at any point and put in a delicious cross, you know, is in his favour. But if you're a stats man like I am, I still am. The jury's out whether 7.2 million is worth it for Cancelo. The saving grace with Cancelo in that City side is the rotation with the centre backs now. Akanji, Diaz, Laporte, Stones, Ake, you know, five centre backs there. Walker injured, you know, there as well. So we're not really too sure who's going to line up, and Cancelo gives you that kind of easy route into the defence. But maybe it's Edison who is the one that you know, is standing out at the moment, potentially. But if you've got Cancelo, easy hold. But I'm not sure if I was wildcarding, I'd be bringing him in. The last player I bought in is Justin. You know, annoyed I didn't play Ward, obviously, in the last game. I think I wouldn't want to double up on the Leicester defence. But the Leicester underlying numbers haven't been too bad, given that they've conceded the most goals in the league. A lot of that has come from sort of poor goalkeeping from Ward. So if he's kind of got his act together a little bit, I do think, you know, Leicester could improve defensively. They've got great fixtures to come, like I mentioned, Bournemouth, Palace, Leeds, Wolves, Everton in 15 as well. Got to think there's some clean sheets there. Justin is playing for a place in the England squad as well. I think he's a great player. You've got Castagna there at 4.4 as well. Neither doing much on the attacking potential, 0.07 for Justin. Castagna not much better either. But, you know, just due to how much I rate Justin and how much I think 4.3 could be brilliant value for someone like him. You know, if someone needed to free up some money from their premium defence, for example, I think 4.3 is a bargain price for him. So how am I set up for game week 10? This is my team at the moment. It's Ward in goal. Got the decision to make, Ward or Henderson. Henderson with Villa at home, Ward with Bournemouth away. I'm leaning towards playing Ward because Bournemouth are really struggling attacking wise, and Leicester have now sort of kept that clean sheet, and Forest were just absolutely awful in that game. So leaning towards Ward, but it could shift over to Henderson. It's Trent, James, Diaz, Trippier, Foden, Madison, Martinelli, Haaland captain, obviously Kane and Mitrovic, and then on my bench I've got Gross, Pereira and Emerson. So I've got a few issues here. I mean, I've got Mitrovic who's obviously yellow flagged. I've got Diaz, who unfortunately wasn't in the team against Southampton. We're going to see if he lines up tonight. I don't really know what to do with him. If he does, I don't know what his kind of support is. Akanji's been so good, which I wasn't really expecting. So hard to know exactly what to do with him. I've got Mitrovic as well, which means, you know, if both those players don't play, I don't mind Gross coming in for one. But then if I'm going down to a Pereira, that's a bit of a concern. So I think I need to move or make a move this week. If Mitrovic is fit, then I could probably hold. If he's not, then I think it's probably going to be a points hit for me. With Diaz moving on, upgrading Gross to a Trossard potentially, and then a 4.3 or a 4.4 million defender, maybe Justin, like I mentioned, or Mitrovic to Wilson potentially. But then again, I'd need to free up some money from Diaz to do that. So maybe a hit for me if Mitrovic is out. But that's Diaz. Yeah, I think if you've got him, I think he's probably someone that you need to be looking at. And, you know, I can use this as an excuse to get off four at the back and move to more in midfield, for example. Not much to say about Trent and James. I mean, Trent has been disappointing. He did score a goal in the Champions League last night. There's going to be goals in this Arsenal game. I'm not expecting a clean sheet from him, hoping that he can get some sort of offensive returns. Again, he's probably not someone that I'd consider if I was wildcarding this week, but he doesn't really feel like a huge priority to get rid of when I've got other issues kind of in the side. If I didn't have any other issues in the side, he might even be someone I'd be looking to get rid of, potentially for Cancelo, although he has got the blank, or maybe move that money down. So, interesting one. I think if you've got no issues, he might be someone that you look to get rid of. James, I think, you know, he's got a great chance of a clean sheet against Wolves. They're really struggling, sat in the manager, all these things. We still are struggling to see how Chelsea are going to do under Potter, but we know he's going to be on the right wing, essentially, and I think the returns are coming. So, yeah, not too worried about him. Nothing to say about Trippier. Home to Brentford. Great fixture. I'm expecting a clean sheet, and probably some attacking returns as well. Foden, great return from him. He was orange, now he's green. I'll probably be keeping him for the foreseeable, maybe just riding out that game week 12 or swapping him for Diaz maybe, and then looking to bring him back pretty soon. Really happy with him. I think, you know, if for people who've got De Bruyne, I think you keep him, but there's a lot of money, you know, between them, 4 million nearly. And from game week 13, it's Brighton, Leicester, Fulham, Brentford, Leeds, Everton. And I'm going to want 2 seat attackers for that. So we'll probably just keep Foden. And ride it out. Madison is there as well. He's not going anywhere. Great fixtures, great form, perfect player. If you haven't got him, I think, again, this is someone you probably want to be making moves to try and get. And then I've got Martinelli as well. I think there's goals in this game for Arsenal. So he's going nowhere and probably will stay in my team through the blank as well. So just to make sure that bench can cope with it. At the moment, it's not looking amazing. Pereira's going to be a lot weakened if Mitrovic is out. Emerson hasn't been starting, for example, so I might need to make a couple of moves just to make sure I get a team out so I can keep some of these players. Essentially. Forwards, I mean, unsurprisingly, Haaland. Nope, he's not going anywhere. Kane. Yeah, I mean, he's fine. I mean, he's got the game in 12. Okay, it's United away, but, you know, it's not a terrible fixture. He's got the game against Everton in 11. Newcastle and Bournemouth in 13-14. The fixtures are okay. Probably not someone I'm going to be desperately looking to get rid of unless I start seeing some blanks from him. But at the moment, he's ticking over and, yeah, he'll probably do. And then Mitrovic. I mean, Mitrovic isn't someone I thought would be going anywhere for the foreseeable future. But we'll see kind of what happens with him. Like I said, top of my list would be either moving him down and bringing in Trossard or Zaha, or bringing in Wilson. Any of those would require a hit. So I'll have to wait to see what the news is. Coming from the Fulham camp, got one free transfer, 0.2 million in the bank. Could move him to Welbeck, but that doesn't seem something that I'd probably want to do. So it will probably be Trossard or Wilson that comes in if Mitrovic is out. If Mitrovic is fine, I mean, I could move Diaz and Gross up to Trossard or Zaha and then get in a kind of a cheaper defender. I'd have enough money to do that. So my instincts are telling me there's probably a hit coming this week. The good thing about getting rid of Diaz as well is it gets me rid of a player who hasn't got that game in 12 and he's not starting anyway. So I like to play this game, and actually this team selection helps by always looking who is my weakest player in this side, and my weakest player is Diaz, I think, just given that uncertainty around his minutes. Just before I go, I just want to point out the Football Content Awards. Fantasy Football Scout has been nominated for Best in Editorial. I'm sure a lot of people who use the site and watch these videos and know about Scout know that Scout is the best editorial out there. I mean, the team we've got, you know, with Tom Friedman, with Neil, with Mark, you know, with all the guys who write articles across, you know, fantasy football community and on site. The job they do is tireless. It's incredible. The team news stuff is amazing. And it's really nice to be recognised with that award. We won it for the last 2 years. We're going for the hat trick. And the voting closes on Sunday. So we'd really appreciate your votes. There's a link in the description, but it's footballcontentawards.com/voting. You can vote for Fantasy Football Scout and Editorial. And Scout is represented as well in creators by FPL Black Box. We're partnered with them. Obviously, Mark has got the ties with Scout as he founded it. I work for the company as well. So again, if you're a fan of Black Box and would like to give us your vote as well, we'd really appreciate it. So anyway, thank you so much for watching, guys. I will see you again next week. Good luck in game week 10. Hopefully see you in Black Box tonight. And may your arrows be green.